Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 10. You ready? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. I'm going to talk to you this morning about mystery solved. Mystery solved. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for church this morning, for the folks that are here. Dear God, you've been so good to us, the way you've blessed and provided all these years. And Lord, just thank you, Lord, for allowing us to meet again on this Sunday, March 1, 2015. Even with the snow coming down, dear God, you've been so good to us. Thank you for safety all these years. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have church. And thank you for being so good, the way you've blessed and provided. Now, dear God, dear Holy Spirit of God, please meet with us. Dear Holy Ghost of God, speak to our hearts. Help us to pay attention this morning. Help us not to be distracted. Help us not to be a distraction. Help us to focus on the Word of God and the preaching this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 10, Jesus says, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. And here, right in the middle of this parable, Jesus talks about the mysteries, and that those mysteries are given to the world. Those of us who are saved ought to know the mysteries, and those of us or those who are lost have no idea what the mystery is. And so Jesus is going to explain to us the mystery is giving on purpose. And that's why Jesus spoke in parables. And that's why if you want to know about God, you have to read about God. You have to dig deep in the Word of God and stay long in the Word of God to know the true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are not serious about God, it's going to be a mystery to you. These things are going to be said in parables, and you're not going to know, what's that really mean, Pastor? And, you know, I don't understand it all. And, you know, I have a problem with this. And not that we don't have questions. I understand that everybody has questions about certain things. But, you know, the Bible says those of us who are saved understand all things. That's what the Bible says. So how can you understand all things? Well, I do know that Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good to them that love God. I may not know the exact reason why everything works out in everybody's life, but I do know this much. Everything works out for good if you love God. Everything works out for good if you love God. And in Philippians chapter number 1, I think it's verse 12, Paul says, all these things have happened to me for the furtherance of the gospel. So just taking Romans chapter number 8, verse 28, and Philippians chapter number 1, we know that everything happens for good and for the gospel's sake. Why the little stuff happens and how it all works out, I don't know all those answers. I just know there's a purpose behind why everything happens in life. And so sometimes you look at it and say, well, it's a mystery. Seems like a parable. And can you unravel this? Well, I think it's very important to understand what Jesus says here. Again, this is in the middle of the parable, the sower and the seed. But look at verse number 18, and I think this is the key to unlock mysteries or parables or questions in life. Luke chapter number 8, verse number 18, here's what Jesus said. He said, take heed therefore, and look how important this word here is, how you hear. How, not what you hear, but how you hear. Well, I understand. Everybody hears the same thing. You think everybody's listening to the exact same thing this morning, but they're not. It is an amazing thing that people sit in the same pews, in the same church service, listen to the same singing, heard the same testimonies that we just heard all these people give testimonies about church and Jesus Christ and salvation and life itself. We heard all these testimonies. We heard the same singing. We're going to hear the same sermon, but people are going to walk out of here with who knows how many different opinions. You know why? Because it's how you hear. It's not what you hear. It's how you hear. So I understand, Pastor, we're all hearing the same thing. How can we hear something differently? Because every single person is unique and different. Every single person has a different background. Every single person has a different upbringing. Every single person has a religious affiliation before you came here, a different education, different societal impacts. You have different likes and dislikes. And so you had different influences growing up. Some people come from different racial backgrounds. Some people come from different ethnic backgrounds. Some people born in different countries. I'm just saying, everybody looks at or hears what I'm saying this morning, and hears the testimonies that we had, and hears the singing differently. That's why somebody walks away and says, man, I don't like anything he said. I ain't never coming back. And somebody says, boy, I love that. I can't wait to come next Sunday. I want some more of that stuff. They both heard the exact same thing. Why would somebody say, boy, I love it, and somebody says, I hate it? Why would somebody want to encourage somebody else to come to church and somebody else say, I don't want you going back there anymore? Because it's how you hear that matters. Not what you hear. The Word of God is available for everybody. This book is open for everybody. It's not a secret. This King James Bible we've had since 1611, ladies and gentlemen. That's a long track record, ladies and gentlemen. 400 plus years we've had a King James Bible. Anybody can pick it up and anybody can read it. But it's an amazing thing how many different people take different things out of this and walk away differently from it. It's the same book. It's the same God. But people are different. The reason is because we don't want to admit this, but everybody has blinders on them. Some people do not want to see what is there to be seen. You want to look away. You don't want to see it. So you just turn away. You walk away. And I don't want to deal with it right now. Well, that's a lack of maturity. That's immaturity. Those are people that can't deal with reality. A person who matures, who is saved, a child of God, and grows up, deals with reality. And so, well, this is what we have in front of us. We better deal with it. The best way to deal with it is finding out what God says. Amen? That's why it's very important for everything that you say, everything that you do, and everything that you believe to have a chapter and verse for it. If you do not have a chapter and verse for it, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But if Deuteronomy 22:15 is in the Bible, you better worry about it. Or Deuteronomy 22:6, I forget now. 22:5, I'm sorry. I'm losing my mind. If Deuteronomy 22:5 is in the Bible, you better think about it. If John 17:17 is in the Bible, you better think about it. If Matthew 4:4 is in the Bible, you better think about it. If John 3:7 is in the Bible, you better think about it. I mean, if I can come up with a chapter and verse for what I believe, and you are upset at that, there's a problem with you hearing how you're hearing what I'm saying. Not what I'm saying, how you're interpreting it, how you're digesting it, how you're taking it in. It could be your background. Maybe you're just not. Look, I never went into a Baptist church until I was 21 years of age. This was foreign to me. I grew up lighting my candles and doing what my priest told me to do on my way to hell. Not one person ever told me in 21 years how I needed to be born again and go to heaven. Now, you would think some Sunday school teacher, some priest, some bishop, some deacon, some psalter, somebody would say, hey, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. But when you don't read the Word of God, then you don't know. Jesus said, take heed, therefore, how you hear. How you hear. It's not just what you hear. It's how you hear. Jesus said, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. In Matthew chapter number 13. Same parable, the parable of the sower and the seed. So to the lost, they're scratching their head. I don't understand the Bible. You know, you've been there. You don't know what I'm talking about. It's just too boring. You know, like they say about church, it's too boring. The Word of God, I don't understand it. You know, it's full of contradictions. The next time somebody tells you the Bible's full of contradictions, take your Bible, hand it to them, and say, please show me one. Just show me one, please. All they're doing is parroting something that somebody else has said. They like that argument, and so they repeat it without even thinking about it. Because it fits their outlook on life that they do not like God, they do not love God, they do not want the Word of God. And so whatever argument they can come up with, say, well, it's just full of contradictions. And then when somebody confronts them and says, just show me one, please. I'd like to know where the contradiction is. I don't know where it's at right now. Well, then why did you say that? It's how you listen. It's how you hear. Now, if you have filters on, there's some things I may talk about. You don't like what I talk about. You're going to shut me off. You have a filter. You have a stop there. You have a faucet. You just turn it off. You know, when a preacher gets on rock and roll music, you don't like to hear that because it bothers you because you listen to rock and roll or country music, you know. You just shut that off until you get off of rock and roll music, you know. When it comes to dress, you just shut that off, you know. So I don't like to hear about that. You just shut that off and turn it back on when I'm done with that. When it comes to the King James Bible, where's the Word of God today, you know. We went through the adult Bible study this morning, the NIV, taking out complete Bible verses out of the book, out of the NIV, completely out. You know, you don't like that kind of preaching on the NIV, you know what you do? I'm telling you, you have a filter. You have blinders on. You just shut me off, and then when I'm done that, you just turn me back on. So I'll just listen to what I like. Oh, the love of God. Oh, the mercy of God. And that's good. But how about the truth of God and the judgment of God? You're going to meet God one day. And you're going to need to be as prepared as possible when you meet God. Why would you want to discount the rest of truth? Because it's hard to swallow sometimes. It's a bitter pill sometimes. It's difficult sometimes. I'll grant you that. But it's necessary, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them." God wants to save everybody. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's not willing that anybody die and go to hell. But you know what? As Jesus said, their hearts wax gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. God wants to heal you. God wants to save your soul. But if you say no, God's not going to save you. God gives you the decision. God gives you the choice. God doesn't save people who say no to Jesus Christ. God saves those who willingly admit that they're sinners lost on their way to hell and need salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. God's not going to whop you over the head and say, "Hey, get saved." Now, he may do something in your life to wake you up, but he's not going to force anybody to get saved, ladies and gentlemen. And he's not going to force anybody to pay attention and listen. You have to change your personality. You have to allow God to change your thinking. You say, "Well, you're brainwashed." Well, there's a lot of stuff in my brain that needs to be washed. For the 21 years I lived for the devil and the world and myself, there's a lot of stuff in there that needs to be washed. You want to call it brainwashing, you call it anything you want. But, you know, like you used to wash your kids' mouths out with soap, you know. Most of our brains need to be washed out. But the world comes out and says, "Oh, you're just brainwashed. They can say anything I want. They can say anything they want." I'd rather live for Jesus than live for myself, amen. See, it's how you look at things, not what you look at. It's how you perceive it in your own mind. You know, I've been working in a court system for way over 30 years now. It's a scary thing when you think about it, man. Since 1980, I've been working in the courts. It's 35 years. It's a long time. And I've seen a lot of things in court, lots of things in courtrooms. And one of the most interesting things, especially lining up with this sermon here, is, you know, You hear about it on in the newspaper news when there's a criminal trial, you know, whether it's for murder or rape or burglary or somebody committed some heinous crime. You read about it, you hear about it. And so you make a judgment based only on what you hear. But you don't know all the facts. So when the jury acquits somebody and somebody walks, you say, "Well, I can't believe it." Well, maybe it could be because you haven't heard all the facts. And you didn't know all the details. You just heard snippets from the media. You just heard snippets from the radio or the television or newspaper or social media. You have to literally be in that courtroom all the time to listen to all the witnesses and look at all the proof and then make a decision. Do you know what's even stranger than that? I've been in courtrooms where there were hung juries that heard the same evidence and saw the same witnesses and heard the same proof. See, so how can you have 12 people, listen to me good, hear the same things, see the exact same thing, and come away with completely opposite perceptions of reality? And so we can't come to a decision. It's a hung jury. And the judge goes, oh, go back in there and try again. And they come back out. I said, no, we're hung. We're disagreeing. They heard the exact same stuff. They saw the exact same witnesses. They saw the exact same evidence. And yet two different opinions come out, at least two. Well, that's how church is. That's how life is. Because you know what? You don't understand the importance of your makeup. Not the stuff that women shouldn't put on their face and their lips and their eyes and their fingernails. The makeup of the inside of the personality. That's what I'm talking about. Because everybody is unique. Everybody's different. And everybody brings to a congregation, an assembly, a jury. Everybody brings a different outlook on life. That's why when what's going on in the country, some people call it police brutality, right? Or some people, you know what they say? Those thugs are deserving what they get. You watch the exact same videos. I mean, people dying sometimes. You know, black people say they're picking on black people. And you know why? Because black people have suffered for a few hundred years, by the way. It's easier for white people to say, you know, those guys deserve what they're getting. Well, that's because you haven't been a slave for a couple hundred years. Hello? I'm just saying, you look at it different than I do, and I look at it different than you do. It's important that we change our thinking to line up with what God thinks. Because no matter what I say, your filter and your blinders are going to pervert the very words of God. And you're going to take from it what you want, and you're going to leave behind what you don't want. So in order to understand the mysteries of God and the parables of God and the mysteries of life, get rid of your blinders and get rid of your filter and just read what God says and accept what God says and put that inside and to make it part of your personality. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 4, when he was alone, the same parable, by the way, in Mark 4, when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. And Jesus said in verse number 10, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. It's how you look at things. It's how you perceive. Look, I don't know how you grew up. I don't know if you grew up in an intact family. I don't know if it was a broken home. I don't know if you grew up on drugs and liquor. I don't know you grew up on the streets. I don't know if you were homeless. I don't know if you lived in a mansion. I don't know what kind of education you have. I don't know what country you're from. All those things are combining in your mind how you look at things. I mean, most people in this room have not grown up in a war-torn environment in a nation in war. But my mom did, and she drilled that into me almost day and night. Americans have no idea what war's like. When you believe that Islam is a peaceful religion, you have your head in the sand and you don't know the truth. You have no idea what's going on. And I'm not saying we should go out there and blow them to smithereens, even though I believe that. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is you don't have the same background that other people do. And you don't look at things the same way people who were hungering in third world countries look at it. See, you get mad at the wrong people. You get mad at Mexicans trying to cross the border to come to America to make some money and so send back some money for their families that they love. I'm not mad at the Mexicans. I'm mad at the politicians, the wicked politicians in Washington, D.C. that don't close the borders. I'm not mad at the Mexican people. I can understand why they want to come to America. God's blessed America. God's given us freedom and liberty and riches and wealth and comfort. If you had the opportunity, you'd do the exact same thing if you could. I'm not against the Mexican people. Just put a border up. Put a wall up there, amen? I'm just saying, everybody has a different outlook on life. And you have to have some empathy with people, how they think and how they act and how they react to some things. If you're trying to reach people. Finally, in John 16:29, his disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverbs. See, when they were together, the disciples asked Jesus questions about the parables. And Jesus expounded the parables. And then they said, they understood. Isaiah 6 says, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. The heart of this people is fat. They make their ears heavy. They shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Ezekiel 12, the Bible says, son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. So, when God tells Ezekiel to preach to the people of Israel that are rebellious, what do you think they're going to react like? Why do you think they put Jeremiah in the dungeon? Why do you think they chopped John the Baptist's head off? Why do you think Paul was sent to prison and Nero had him beheaded? Why do you think they put Daniel in the lion's den? Why do you think they put those three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace? You think they like their preaching? You think they like their convictions? You think they like their standards? You think they like what they believed? They hated it. It's how they heard. It's what's in their heart. That's why some people hate preaching and some people love preaching. How can somebody hear the exact same kind of preaching and somebody love it and somebody hate it? It's how you hear. It's what you've allowed in your life or what has come into your life that's affecting you and how you're digesting what's happening. In all of life's actions, Jesus said, how you hear. That's what he said in Luke chapter number 8. He said, take heed, therefore, how you hear. It's not just what you hear. That's why some people read the Bible and they get one thing out of it. Another person reads the Bible, they get something else out of it. And that's why it's important to have a kind of church like we have, because everybody is a member of this one body. The Bible says there's safety multitude of counselors. That's why, even when we were doing the bathrooms years ago, 6, 7 years ago, we were doing the bathrooms. There's no bathrooms here, you know. You know what we do? We got a group of men together, 3, 4, 5, 7 men together. We just walked in. How do you think we ought to be? And somebody had their opinion, and somebody said this, and somebody said that. And what you see was a culmination of about 5 or 7 people getting their heads together and coming up with an idea. Well, the more that you have, the more you can check other people's, you know, maybe false pretense or blinders or filter. Yeah, I never thought about that. I never saw that like that. Some people are more mechanically inclined. Some people are not. Some people are paper pushers. Some people like to be greasy monkeys. Well, you need everybody's input to get everybody the right picture, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says in Acts 28, some believed the things which were spoken and some believed not. And Paul said, he was quoting Isaiah, who said, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. He quoted the exact same verse in Isaiah that Jesus quoted. Some people believe, some people didn't believe. I mean, it's not that complicated. Jesus said you must be born again. A Catholic doesn't like that. Greek Orthodox doesn't like that. A Protestant doesn't like that. A Hindu doesn't like that. A Buddhist doesn't like that. Jesus said you must. It's not a good idea. He didn't say it's a good idea. He said you must be born again. Because if you're not born again, you're going to burn in hell forever. Some of you don't think it's important. That's why you haven't told your parents. You haven't told your brother, your sister. You haven't told your children. You haven't told your cousins. You have not told your neighbors. You haven't told your coworkers. You haven't told anybody. You don't think it's that important. When Jesus said, you must be born again. You don't think it's that important. It's how you hear. It's what you think. That's all right. They'll get it once in a while. They'll get it sooner or later. You know, it's up to them. That's why people like being Calvinists. They're spineless. They're spineless. So, well, they're going to go wherever they're destined to go. Wherever God's preordained them, that's where they're going to go. First Corinthians chapter number 2, the Bible says, Paul writes, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. People are like, you know, anybody ever ask you, why in the world do you always go to church all the time? They think that we're wasting our time. I know, they used to tell me this before I became a pastor. You going again tonight? Did you go this morning? You got to go again tonight? Wait a second. You going again Wednesday night? What? You already went. Well, to them it's a mystery. What in the world are you doing this? You're wasting your time. You're wasting your life. What are you doing here? To the world, it's a mystery why you go to church at all. To hear somebody preach from the old King James Bible about the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation and eternity. The world looks at us like we're a bunch of nuts. But they go to hear the same musician sing the exact same song and spend $100, $200 a pop for a ticket. And they think that's normal. They'll watch the same movie over and over. They know it's coming up. The same movie, 2, 3, 4 times, the same movie. Some people have seen the same movie 5, 10, 20 times. It's my favorite movie. You don't think that's ludicrous? You don't think that's stupid? You don't think that's a waste of time? Yeah. See, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. This is a hidden mystery to the world. They don't understand this. You will not understand until you get the Spirit of God in you. And you can only have the Holy Ghost of God in you when you get saved, when you become a child of God. Before then, it doesn't make sense to you. The Bible says, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And Paul writes, he goes on, he says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So you and I have the ability to understand all mysteries and search out God completely. Even though his riches are unsearchable, we can be on a life's journey of continually searching for God's riches and keep coming up with jewels of God's righteousness. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And you can only know that by being born again. Because that's the only time you get the Spirit of God, by being saved, by being a child of God, by being born again. You're not a Christian because you were born into Christian parenthood by Christian parents, or because you got baptized or christened, or somebody poured some water on you. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 3 says, he made known unto me the mystery, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. I mean, back in the Old Testament, they were in the temple, they were sacrificing their lambs, their goats, their bullocks, they're scratching their head. God told us to do this. We may not understand why, but we're sacrificing the animals and the lambs until John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And they said, oh, now it makes sense. Oh, now I get it. It was hidden to them, but they're obeying by trusting the Word of God. They're saying, we're doing exactly what God tells us to do. We may not understand all of it, but this is what God told us to do. This is what we're doing. And don't you know, it was revealed later on. Oh, that's why, because Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now I understand it. Hey, I got news for you. We're not going to understand all things in life until we get on the other side. And when we get to heaven, we're going to look back and say, now I understand it. Wow. And all we need to do is trust Jesus Christ and obey the Word of God to the best of our ability, and everything would have gone better in our lives. But because we weren't walking with God, we weren't reading the Word of God, we were not living for God, these things are a mystery, even to people who are saved. That shouldn't be, but it's a shame. There are saved people bumping into walls, like they're in a maze, and not knowing what to do, where to go, how to do. Because Jesus said, take heed therefore how ye hear. How you hear. Not what you hear, how you hear. Some people mess up their lives because they didn't want to face the music. They didn't want to face the truth. It's too scary for them. They couldn't change. They chose not to change. Colossians chapter number 1. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. He goes on and says, whom we preach, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You know what Paul said? Hey, you're supposed to warn everybody. That's what he said. Of what, Pastor? Hell that's coming. The judgment seat of Christ that we're going to stand before if you're saved. Paul said to warn every person, every man. Do you know Jesus Christ? Because Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3 say that in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I mean, in Jesus Christ. Life is not a mystery to a child of God that loves God and loves God. It's not a mystery, ladies and gentlemen. It comes down to tough choices that you need to make. And to the world and to the backslidden, it's a mystery. Because 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. It's a mystery. Why do you go to church all the time? Why do you dress that way? Why do you believe that? Why do you do all that? To the world and to the backslidden, it's a mystery. But we have chapters and verses. It's not a mystery. This is what God said. Toronto Maple Leafs general manager Brian Burke, at that time in 2013, he said this. He says, statistics are like a lamppost to a drunk. Useful for support, but not for illumination. Do you understand that? He says, statistics are like a lamppost to a drunk. Useful for support, but not for illumination. You see, statistics are good and percentages are good for insight and to gain some thought into planning ahead or what is to be expected. But all the facts and figures will never persuade the seared conscience of their ungodliness and worldliness and their wickedness before a holy God. And I'm not against facts and figures and statistics, and I use them sometimes. But when it comes to God and righteousness, God always works with the remnant and the few and never with the majority. So when it comes to God, the only thing that matters is the chapter and verse that you can cite from a King James Bible about what you believe and why you believe it. Your facts and your statistics may make you look good leaning against the lamppost, but you will realize how drunk with the world you are when you stand before a holy God who hates rock and roll music, who hates alcohol and liquor and beer and wine, who hates the worldliness of these modern dance club so-called churches that don't even have a King James Bible. And if you do not have a King James Bible, you do not have a Bible. But they're like drunks leaning against a lamppost spouting out facts and figures. But they can't even see 5 feet in front of them. See, human nature is a complex thing. As I said, every individual is unique and is different from every other person, past, present, or future. We not only have different cell makeups, hereditary chromosomes, different metabolisms, different health issues, different allergies, different fingerprints, different eyes, different heights, different body structures, different hair color, different birthmarks, different vision. Even those born in the same family with the same biological parents are different. They may have resembling facial features and commonality from hereditary, but each person is unique and different. And also, then on top of that, each and every person has a different personality. And most times, most family members tend to think alike. Sometimes, even those growing up in the same family come out of that family with slightly varying thought processes. Every person is a culmination of everything that has entered into their brain. That includes not only socially, psychologically, religiously, racially, educationally, emotionally, familially, that's within your family, nationally, philosophically, and on I can go. In addition, some people have suffered traumatic experiences where they suffered bodily harm, brain damage. They lived in war zones. They suffered hunger. They suffered prejudice. They suffered hatred. They suffered pain. They suffered distress. They suffered torture. They suffered in ways that no two people have ever suffered exactly the same. That's why some people came back from the Vietnam conflict. Over 50,000 American men lost their lives. Some came back not just wounded in body, but wounded in their minds. Those with a stronger constitution were able to withstand the emotional and mental onslaught of seeing their buddies blown apart while others took to drugs, alcohol, and died a miserable, slow death of madness or suicide. Because everybody is different. And it's how you hear. not what you hear. Those who see the same exact events will look on events completely different. The devil's crowd cheered when Barack Hussein Obama was elected president, while God's people wept. Some people cheer when socialist laws are passed and liberties and freedoms are taken away, while those who love liberty and freedom are saddened that our country has turned into a socialist nightmare, where the elite run roughshod over people's liberties, and they take great pride and happiness in destroying the godliness of our country's foundations. How can two different people living in the same country have such disparate views of the same events? It's how you hear, not what you hear, how you hear. Every person is different. How are you listening? That's why the last book in the Bible is called Revelation, but the Catholics call it the Apocalypse. Apocalypse means hidden. Revelation means it's revealed. To those of us who are saved, this is an open book, ladies and gentlemen. God reveals the truth. But to somebody who's lost on their way to hell, it's a closed book. The seals are on it. They can't take the seals off. It doesn't make sense to them. It's boring to them. It's contradictory to them. I can't make sense. I don't understand that, because you don't have the Spirit of God yet. You're not a child of God. I'll tell you what, when I got saved, when I was born again, the scales came off my eyes and off my ears. And I read this book afresh and anew for the first time. I mean, before I got saved, I used to read, you know, Matthew chapter number 1. I got to Matthew chapter number 2, and I got sick and tired of all the begat. I just closed it up and put it on the shelf again. I couldn't get past Matthew 2 or 3. So-and-so begat so-and-so. So I said, man, that's boring. But man, you pick it up now, it's not the same old book. Because now the scales have fallen off the eyes. The ears have taken the filters off, amen. Paul writes in Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 1, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He says in Galatians 4:16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Verse 17, he says, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. Turn to Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 1, please. Galatians chapter number 3. Here's one of the keys to the secret of life. Mark this down, ladies and gentlemen. Mark this down. Brother Heil said, you will not be what you want to become. You will be who you hang around with. You better remember that for the rest of your life. You will not be what you want to become. You will be who you hang around with. Galatians 3, verse number 1. Look what it says. O foolish Galatians. What's the next word? Who? Doesn't say what. Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? You see, you think it's circumstances of life that stop you from living for God. Well, I can't do that. I'm not like that. Oh, no. You know what it was? It was a who whispered in your ear and said, you know what? That preacher is crazy. Don't listen to him. You know that church? They're just a cult. Hey, you know that religion you're up in right now? You're wasting your time. It's a very dangerous place. So the devil has somebody come up to you and whisper in your ear. You know what? Your father doesn't know what he's talking about. Your mother doesn't know what she's talking about. Your parents, you know what? You're smarter than your parents. Somebody's whispering in your ear. The devil's crowd's going to whisper in your ear. It's going to be a who, not a what. It won't be a tragic accident that messes you up. It won't be a heartache. It won't be a big devastating thing that happens in your life. It won't be that. It'll be somebody who will, let me tell you something, who will encourage you to keep living for God no matter what. Or somebody who will whisper in your ear and says, oh, don't worry about the Word of God. Don't worry. It doesn't matter what Bible you use. It doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter about all these standards. And just don't worry about that. You know what? Just love God freely. Don't worry about all that little stuff. Who hath bewitched you? That's strong language for Paul to say. Bewitched? Bewitched? It's how you hear. So you're going to come across, you're going to hear the sermon this morning, last week, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, last year, 2 years ago. And you're going to come out and say, man, that was a great sermon. Until somebody gets to you and say, well, you know what? He's going overboard. It's too much pressure there. It's too much, you know, they're legalists. They're too strict, you know. He's really gone beyond, way beyond. That's not a good, healthy environment for you to be in. Who hath bewitched you? Who? That's what Paul said. You can live for God if you wanted to. And if you want to live for God, this preacher's going to be in your corner. I don't care if anybody walks away from you. I'll be in your corner. I don't care if everybody ridicules you and mocks you and makes fun of you. I will be in your corner. Because I know what it's like when people walk away from you, ladies and gentlemen. I know when it gets very lonely and when things happen in life and all your so-called friends just walk out the door. I'd rather be with the remnant that God blesses. And thank God we have a great crowd this morning with the snow coming down, amen. But I'd rather be with the remnant who love God no matter what and are willing to do the best to obey this book, to live for God, than be with thousands of people who disregard this book and mock this book and hate this book. The secret in life to unraveling mysteries is how you hear. Not what you're hearing, because we're all hearing the same thing this morning. How you hear.